When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What bothered you the most from, I guess, the first quarter and a half Sunday?
Yeah, they came out throwing, obviously, and throwing quick, and we weren't close enough. We played a lot more man in those first three series than we usually do, or we were in some tight matchup zones, and we just didn't play it good enough. Their pass offense was better than our pass defense.
Well, that's for sure, Vic. Well, thank you for that. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, the voice of Vic Fangio, their Eagles coordinator, spoke today.
Anybody. Steve Wonder could have saw that.
Yeah, you didn't need to see it. You could have just heard Burrow on the call. You would have known that. All right, so Vic spoke today as Eagles coordinator speaking today as the Eagles approach their bye week. Next week, they'll face the Cleveland Browns. We have more from Vic Fangio here. What else did Vic have to say today?
Vic, I'm curious as far as you know, how the defense can look so good one week against New Orleans and then come out to Tampa and not look the same. Why is that, do you think?
Well, it's a good question. You know, they came out throwing real fast, real quick, and we weren't tight enough. And we fell behind the chains because of that. And it just kind of snowballed. We never couldn't make the play to get them the 2nd and 10 or 3rd and 10. And it just never happened.
Did that strike you as him putting it on the players? We couldn't make the play. I mean, Vic doesn't make plays.
A little bit.
Yeah. Vic sits there and calls the defense. He said, we couldn't make the play.
Yeah, because you're talking about like a bunch of missed tackles.
Yeah, there were 18 of them.
Yeah, it was a lot of missed tackles,
it's
man.
It's a lot.
And not being in position. You knew that they were going to come out because they had just given up, like, what, 6 sacks the week before?
7, yeah.
So they were not going to let you kill their quarterback. Knowing that the defensive line, the way that they played last week, that's football 101. Mm. You know, if you have a good game and you have a bunch of sacks the week before, you're going to have to work that much harder the following week because teams see that. They see that on film. We're not going to let you tee off on their quarterback.
It's kind of the same thing that happened to the Eagles when they faced the Falcons. You were saying that after week one because the Falcons' offensive line got beat up, and then it's like, well, they're going to have pride. They're not going to let it happen 2 weeks in a row. We keep running into that. You know what I mean? Like, we keep facing the team off their down week, and then they get right against us.
You have to know, and this is how I would attack every week. Teams that give up a lot of sacks the week before, you're going to have to work that much harder the following week because they're not about to let you, especially if you're known as a team that gets after the quarterback. Mm. They're not about to let you tee off on their quarterback. They're not going to do that.
And on top of that, we're a team whose best pass rusher is in the middle with Jalen Carter, right?
Yes. So they're going to get rid of... They're definitely not going to let him tee off.
Right. They're going to get rid of the football as quickly as they can. Mad Mike, who wouldn't be mad if Belichick was here. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
How you doing today?
Well, we're just trying to figure things out.
Did you take care of business?
Were you on a work call?
You know, I'm a businessman. What can I say? I'm not just a psycho on the radio. I do work.
The difference is that's all I am, is actually this is my job. Go ahead, Mike.
So here's the thing, guys. I would love it if they fired that moron. And Hugh, he's a moron. And let's all just say it out loud. Nick Sirianni's a moron, and he's a puppet. And Howie Roseman put him there for a reason.
Moron.
But the reason they won't do it is because Bill Belichick would come in and immediately put his big mitt right in Howie Roseman's face and push him all the way back to the other side of the NovaCare complex, and that would be the end of that. So they're not going to do that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Mike. Until they're willing to hire a coach that they value their say and let them make those kind of decisions, it's probably not going to happen. They want the kind of coach that will just coach the team, and that's it.
And let's be honest here. This is all Howie Roseman's fault. Like, all of this is Howie Roseman's fault. Because Howie Roseman thinks he's a football guy. He drafts bad players. Name me one good draft that Howie Roseman's had where the pick hasn't been super high and everybody knew what the pick should be. He stinks at drafting. And you know what else he stinks at? Trades. He stinks at trades. We got Jannard Avery, Golden Tate, this bum from this year. I mean, he stinks out loud at trades. And most of the GM, anything that has to do with being a GM, other than giving out huge contracts to free agents, and what does he do?
Coming in hot.
Well, he is today.
I mean, think about that. Like, he's really ruined this team. Like, he got lucky one year where he put a bunch of talent and they had the easiest schedule. And no one wants to admit that. But 2022 was a mirage because they had the world's easiest schedule against a bunch of nobodies. And they're like, oh, it's Howie season. Howie season. You're all mouth breathers, Delaware Valley. Howie season's canceled forever. Fire Howie Roseman.
No, we're not there yet, Mad Mike. Mad Mike, we preached the call. I'm getting rid of the coach. It's not Howie yet. I do expect the Heat to turn up on Howie if this continues, though, Hugh. That's natural. We go in cycles with Howie here, right? Three, four years ago, I'm looking across the Schuylkill here, and we have the Fire Howie sign. Then the next year, 2 years later, they're in the Super Bowl.
Now he's the man.
So it goes in cycles. Here's what I'll say about Howie. I think his drafting is probably...
suspect?
I would say it's probably closer to middle of the NFL than bad, but there's been some bad ones, there's no question, and there's been some mistakes here they've made. I mean, I'm watching the Sunday night game on Sunday with the Ravens and the Bills, and mm-hmm. I'm watching Kyle Hamilton fly all over the field, probably the best safety in the league right now, and we took Jordan Davis over him. I mean, there's just no question who's the better player right now. It's Kyle Hamilton. So we could point to those, how he's made mistakes. I used to think how he was really good at trades. I mean, Kyle, he used to win trades all the time. I mean, when he got Jay Ajayi, he helped them win the Super Bowl, the Darren Sproles trade. I mean, he won a lot of trades. I would say the last few years, Howie's track record in trades for players, and I don't mean trades in the draft. I mean established players. It's not gone as well. I mean, there's
been really bad.
Who was last year the safety? Kevin Byard?
Yes, Byard.
It was a waste of time.
Awful.
He's playing well in Chicago, isn't he?
I didn't even realize. I know he's on Chicago. I don't know if he's playing well or not. But it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, there's the Jannard Averys of Jannard the world. Avery.
Like, no, I was just it's that when you said his name, it just automatically make me think of that.
Well, Jahan Dotson one looks like a joke right now. The Commanders dumped him, and they have the best offense in the league right now, and we spent a third-round pick.
We're still trying to figure out how to get him the ball.
Can't get him the ball.
When's the last time Howie made a trade that you were like, wow, this is a lot better of a player than I expected him to be? I mean, maybe A.J. Brown, but you knew he was a great player.
Yeah.
You might not have known he was this great.
Right, and they probably paid either fair price or they got him for cheap, considering how good he is.
But
okay, that was a good one.
We're left disappointed most of the time with his trades as opposed to like surprised lately.
Well, because he keeps getting big names like Dotson, right? First round pick. We know him from Penn mm-hmm. State. And we're like, oh, wow, he stole him. But I remember we had this discussion the day it happened. Like, is there more to this story than we don't know about?
Why was a little leery.
Yeah, why would the Commanders give a former first round pick to the Eagles in their division? I am not ready to fire Howie. I like Howie. I think Howie will rebound. He's rebounded before. But we can be fair. Some of this is on him, Hugh. I mean, he put together
this
team.
Yeah, he put together the groceries, and he has the guys on this squad. And right now, for whatever reason, it's trending in the wrong direction. I still believe in this team. Let me say that first and foremost. I still believe in this team. But there's a lot of questions that have still not been answered, like the one about the coach and the quarterback. I thought this went away, and I was on board with going into this season – thinking that everything was behind them. But the adversity early on has shown that that is not the case.
You know what the other day was? Your favorite analogy.
What's that?
Like the toilet seat, and then 3 months later you bring it up.
Yeah, you're still bringing it back up. Yeah, that was yesterday.
That was Jalen.
Whatever it is, Jalen's not over it.
No, that's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
Well, that's one of our favorites.
It's an awesome analogy.
Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
How we doing,
what up,
buddy?
Man?
At first I told Kyle that I would have. Oh, first of all, Slade is an idiot, man. Like, for Sirianni to go in there and say, oh, well, he does have a hell of a resume. Sirianni's so stupid, too. You don't do that during the season, because like Hugh said, you got to go to the locker room and you got to face CJ, and we all know that all hell could break loose. This team already has a problem with their morale and their culture already since last season. Now, at first I was saying, I told Kyle I will bring Belichick in right now, but I will wait just to see how Sirianni plays this season out and see what he does, because
he's like, give him to after the bye week.
Yeah, I'll give him a little time, you, because here's the thing: him and Jalen don't have time to have egos, especially Jalen Hurts. To hear him say, "Oh, we have our moments," Jalen, you haven't played well enough to have any moments during nothing. You guys need to get on the same page after what happened last year. Jalen Hurts, you haven't played well at all, man. And for you to have this ego, I feel like since the San Francisco 49ers smacked us around, we had no identity on either side of the ball. We took our lunch. You know how you're in school and a bully takes your lunch every day when you come to school?
Yeah, Debo.
We got Debo by the 49ers, and we haven't got our chain back. They haven't got the chain, the grandmom chain back from Debo.
They have looked shook since then, Terrence.
Since the
day the Niners came in here, they're 3-8, and they've been outscored by almost 100 points. Yeah.
And for Sirianni, like, bro, stop trying to be one of the bros. Like, your job on the line. Stop trying to be cool with these guys. Your team is not coming out. They haven't come out. They don't look good. But I want to hear you keep saying we got to do better. Jalen Hurts in a press conference, I got to do better. It sounds like the same story from Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. This is like deja vu. And I'm getting tired of the product on the field. I want to see you guys play harder. Or this team is going to go into rails, man. There's too many good teams out there, and there's too many up-and-coming echelons. You look at the Detroit Lions, they look like a complete football team, both sides of the ball. And we don't look nothing near that right now. And the bye week, I hope we get healthy, and I hope we get an identity, because Jalen Hurts is not a – you're not a franchise quarterback. You had Goddard and you had Barkley. We had a chance in that game to win that game. We had a chance to go down 7, and what happens? You turn the ball over. You got to make a difference, Hurts, and so far you haven't.
He has not. Terrence, appreciate the phone call. You know, it's funny, as Terrence brought us back to the Wentz-Doug stuff, as this year goes on, Hugh, if they're only an okay team or they're not very good, you know, whatever, we're going to discuss who's got to go, who's going to be here next year.
Mm-hmm.
The last time we did this in 2020, the conversation in Philadelphia was who goes, Doug or Carson? You know what the Eagles' answer was? Both.
Got them out of here.
They got them both out of here. So, like, there's going to be this thing. Whose fault is this? Would it shock anyone if 2 years from now neither of these guys are here?
Not given the track record. Not given the way that they've handled things before. It's unfortunate because this feels like it was a match made in heaven about a year or two ago, and it felt like they were trending in the right direction. And somewhere along the line, and none of us can pinpoint it, it just feels like this relationship went south. It went south.
Is the next head coach going to call Jalen Hurts, and Jalen's going to tell him I'm not coming back? Oh, like Carson Wentz did today.
I don't think he'll do that. I don't know. A lot of what has happened over the last, I'm going to be honest, over the last couple of days, it's been kind of surprising, given what this team has gone through, given the fragile state that this locker room is in. There's a lot of surprising things that have happened over the last couple of days that I'm just like, wow.
I guess I'm not as surprised. I just feel like the foundation is shaky. I mean, like, if they could survive, again, I don't think any of us think the NFC is going to be one with 12 wins this year, but it just feels like this thing's on shaky ground.
Well, it's surprising from the standpoint of, you know, what Jalen said, that's Jalen to a certain extent. You hate that he said it, but he's been kind of on brand. The one that kind of gets me is the Darius Slay one.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Darius Slay one, the Devontae Smith one, I kind of understand. I don't agree with. Don't get it twisted.
What Devontae?
No, not Devontae. What did I say? I meant Devin White. Yeah.
Devin White.
Yeah, my fault. Devontae Smith. Yeah, my fault.
My bag, everybody.
No, Devontae's good.
Yeah, Devin
the,
White.
The worst thing Devontae White does is root for the Celtics. We're good with
because
that.
Because Devin White is in a situation where he's upset. We still don't know why he's not even dressing.
So before you go on, I did see a quote today. Michael Clay, special teams coach, talked today, and he was asked why Devin isn't being used on special teams. Like, why can't they get him in uniform and use him in some realm? And he I'll find the quote, but he said it's like an organizational thing that everyone's got to be on the same page. I'm paraphrasing, but the whole thing with Devin White, Hugh, is very odd.
Yeah, it is, and that is weird. So I kind of he doesn't get a pass. But he's in his feelings right now. So you kind of get that. And like I said, the Slay thing is the one. there is no way on God's green earth that I would feel comfortable going on a podcast with anybody in our division and talking about any of my teammates about anything and having their name come up. I would immediately move off of that and say, hey, I can't talk about somebody else's situation. Can't
I agree. Yeah, it's not something a good teammate in my mind would do. Let's go to our next guest here as we discuss an Eagles team that's 2-2. You know what that's you know what that means here. You know,
death by a thousand cuts. I caught that one. Is that a Katy Perry song?
Not Katy Perry.
Excuse me.
Ross Tucker
I'm sorry,
with us here. Ross, put him in his place.
I didn't screw it up
Ross,
the interview already.
Doing,
I keep my, I'm sorry.
No,
Ross.
now it's a bit. Now he's fooling.
No.
He's playing radio over here.
Ross, I
now
promise.
You're doing this on
I'm not. I promise you, Ross, I didn't. I just said Devontae Smith and I meant Devin White.
No,
I get names mixed up.
No, he does. Well, also, Ross, at one point he told me he thought Katy Perry and Taylor Swift looked alike.
No,
and I said, they do not.
I mean.
Other than their hair color, eye color, face.
I know, Ross.
Other than that, they're like twins.
Ross, I didn't mean to come over here and trigger you. I promise you, that was not what I was trying to do. I promise you, I apologize. That was a mistake on my part. That was a mistake. Definitely a mistake on my part.
All right, let's find something we could all be triggered by. The Eagles, Sunday. Ross, what did you make of that as they go out and they get really, it was not competitive for the first quarter and a half against Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I think that what you just said, Joe, is one of their biggest issues, right? Like, the things that jump out to me are Hurts' turnovers. The defense has really only been good, I think you could say, one game. But they're getting off to horrible starts. I mean, they're the only team in the NFL that hasn't scored in the first quarter yet. And if you remember, when they've had success, certainly 2022, but even a decent amount of 2023, they jumped on people. And whatever Shane Steichen, who was the coordinator in 02, whatever he had for that opening script, I felt like they scored every game. I mean, it felt like they scored a touchdown or field goal every game on the opening drive. They were always playing with a lead. You know how the Bucs in the second half were just teeing off on Hurts and they got a bunch of sacks? The Bucs did to the Eagles on Sunday what the Eagles need to be doing to other teams and what the Eagles do to other teams when they're really playing well.
Ross Tucker with us here. Ross at Ross Tucker NFL. Check it out there. His daily takes on the Eagles, the Ross Report. All right, Ross, so it was not good. It was not competitive. And now we're starting to try to unpack this thing as what this team is. Ross, 2-2 at the bye, but 3-8 in their last 11 back to last year. I mean, what do you make of them right now? And should we recalibrate our expectations for this team, this roster?
You know, it's interesting because I know a lot of people keep bringing up what they are going back to last year. I understand because of the collapse into the last year why people are bringing it up, but that, I don't really care about last year that much anymore. I mean, that they have two new coordinators. Their coordinators at the end of last year were a disaster, and it's the biggest reason why they collapsed like that. They have two coordinators that I think are better, but I'm not sure that either one of those guys has been as good as I was hoping as of yet. And Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, although I still think they're significant upgrades over what they had at the end of last year. And then, you know, to me, you know, Saquon, they got a lot of new guys, right? 2-2 is disappointing. I think 3-1, we all probably would feel pretty good about given the injuries. I mean, they didn't have arguably their three best offensive players. Now, obviously, Saquon has become one of those now this year, but A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane. I mean, did anybody really think they were going to win the game? I didn't. I didn't pick them to win. I picked the Bucs to win.
Joe
2-2 after these four games. I mean, they've lost to or they played three other teams that are 2-2. They played a 3-1 team. They're 2-2. They won a game without their best offensive player and then losing two more in it on the road. They've only played one home game. I think everybody needs to relax a little bit. Let's see how they look coming out of the bye. I'd expect A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson to all be back. And I think they have a chance to really start to go on a run after that. Now, if they don't, you know, if they get those guys back and they're still having major issues, then that's a problem. And the other problem is none of those guys I just mentioned play defense. And their defense got torched on Sunday.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, the defense has been 3 out of 4 games, not very good. Russ, what's their biggest issue on defense? Is this a scheme thing? You know, on Sunday, it felt like the Bucs just got the ball out quickly and the Eagles didn't get a pass rush or stay up on the receiver. So it was easy pitch and catch. Is this more scheme, or do you say, hey, Vic's hands are tied? There's just not enough talent on the defense.
No, I don't feel that way. I think there is enough talent. I really do. I mean, you know, Blankenship's played pretty well. I like their safeties with Blankenship and Gardner Johnson. I like their corners. That doesn't mean they're perfect. You know, Quinyon got beat once or twice. Slay got beat. But I still think that those guys are above average as a pair. I think the linebackers are below average, and I think that's really shown up against the Falcons, where I thought Bond got cut down on the outside zone scheme like 6 times, and obviously, N'Kobe Dean really struggled, as we all saw on Sunday. So the linebackers are below average. We probably knew that coming into the year. I think that maybe the biggest issue is the D-line is average, and they have invested resources in that group such that they need to be above average. So there's a, I mean, all of those things all work in conjunction, as you guys know. But I would say they do have enough talent. The talent that they've brought in particular on the defensive line, is not good enough and or consistent enough. They need to be dominant, and they're not. I mean, they've been dominant 1 out of 4 games.
Speaking of that defensive line, what are you seeing from Bryce Huff? Why is he not able? I know this weekend probably wasn't the best weekend to ask this question because Baker got rid of the ball so fast. But what are you seeing from Bryce Huff as a pass rusher?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's not a run player. So we know that, but, and I think I said this to you guys maybe a week or two ago, go back and watch his sacks for the Jets last year. You can't fake double-digit sacks. I mean, Hugh, you did it for a long, long time. You can't get double-digit sacks by accident. He is a very good rusher when that's all he's asked to do. One of the issues for the Eagles, they really haven't had a lead enough that they've been able to put the other team in obvious passing situations where he can go get it. Now, that being said, there were times against Atlanta where they had those opportunities and he and the other guys weren't able to get to Cousins. They weren't able to affect him. But I think at this point, I would sort of make him a designated rusher. It's remarkable to me, remarkable that in year 15 at age 36, Brandon Graham has been their best defensive end, their best edge player so far this year. I mean, at this point, I'd be already talking about trying to get BG to come back next year based on how the other guys are playing.
Ross, how would you assess the play of Hurts through 4 games? We were discussing earlier, it feels right now to both of us that we can't say anything more than he's an average quarterback at this stage, you know, so far this season.
Yeah, I think I would say it's a little disappointing. I really thought a lot of the issues that he had last year were as a result of the coordinator change and the coordinator issues. But I feel like I'm watching a lot of the same things. You know, one of the biggest positives about Jalen Hurts that we talked about all the time was that he just doesn't turn the football over. This was 2021 when he, you know, he wasn't doing a great job throwing the ball, but he was running it well and he wasn't turning it over. Game of 2022, I'm not sure how that changed. I remember thinking, all right, he's a coach's kid, played for his dad in high school, played for Saban. It's been really ingrained in his head to take care of the football. That has not been the case. And it has made a huge difference in these games. It's very, very disappointing. And I would say, in general, he's not like a Josh Allen or a Mahomes, or one of these guys that's able to make up for the turnovers, you know, with the spectacular. I think he needs to just play a consistent, solid game and not turn it over. There are still times where his pocket movement is disappointing to me. Not getting rid of the ball is disappointing. Escaping too early. And so what I think the discussion is, I'm a huge believer, guys, huge believer in that players can get better, players get worse. I think now that it's, you know, another coordinator, now that it's whatever, I'm starting to wonder if this is just who Jalen Hurts is, and we have to accept the positives with the negatives. Although it's hard to say that when he didn't turn it over like this the first couple of, you know, if he's been doing this the whole time, we could just say this is who he is. But this isn't who he was the first 2 years. That's what's got to be so frustrating.
It is, and it was my favorite part about him as a quarterback, and that's gone away now, which throws the whole thing into flux. Ross, we always appreciate hopping on. Have a great week, and we'll catch up next time. Thank you, Ross.
Have a good one.
Sounds great. Thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Ross Tucker, Ross Report, at Ross Tucker NFL, 215-592-9494. We'll do what we do every Tuesday on this show. Kiss the baby at 115. Your calls on the Eagles Plus. We'll update the latest with the Slay saga, and it's a saga. A recent post from CJGJ on that, and some great audio from Seth Joyner yesterday on Darius Slay. Coming up next, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Y'all know how much I love Hatfield bacon for breakfast. I can eat bacon all day. And now Hatfield has made it easier to enjoy a delicious breakfast with their new breakfast line. Savory breakfast ham slices, pork roll, juicy breakfast sausage links, and Canadian bacon. And soon in your grocery stores, frozen section, Hatfield's frozen sausage patties and links. Perfect for those busy mornings. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find a retail location near you. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.